Right, I have started the recorder. And we are in NTI Romans chapter 8. We did not finish chapter 8. We're ready to start verses 26 to 27, which is on page 271 in my book. How about you guys?
272.
272 in the paperback. All right. The Holy Spirit is your truth. This is why he knows your prayers. You are your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Spirit is you. Open your mind and welcome yourself unto yourself. I made a post in Facebook a couple days ago. It was actually based on a line in NTI Romans 8 that we read last week. But the gist of the post was, you know, once upon a time when I first started reading A Course in Miracles and when I was scribing NTI, and it would refer to me as the Son of God, or in this case it's the Holy Spirit, that felt like such an incredible stretch. You know, like that was really hard to accept that I could be the Son of God or that I could be the Holy Spirit. But what I've come to see actually is that I'm actually more than either of those. When the guidance was getting me to stretch to see myself as the Son of God or the Holy Spirit, it was just getting me to move onto a bridge. And once you get onto that bridge, you realize you're more than that. And the example I used in the post is if you imagine the sun as what we are. And then the light that comes off of the sun is like the Son of God or the Holy Spirit. But then somehow we got ourselves in a position where we were like in a little shack with no windows blocking out the light. So we were in the darkness and we started identifying with the darkness and thinking that's what I am. And when you identify with the darkness and somebody tells you you're the light, that's quite a stretch, you know, because darkness and light are so different. But at some point, we learn to start letting go of the obstacles to the light and, you know, the false beliefs and the attachments and such. And as we let them go, it's like taking a board off of the top of your shack. And every time you take a board off the top of your shack, more light comes in. And when the light comes in, we still don't identify with it, but at least we're recognizing light now. But at some point, enough of the shack is torn down that we actually begin to realize, oh, I am the light. We begin to identify with the light. But then, you know, then we follow the light back to the sun. And at the point where we really realize ourselves is at the point where the light disappears into the sun. So when this paragraph is saying the Holy Spirit is your truth, that's talking to a mind that's still in the darkness. So it's actually not even a wholly truthful statement. At some point, you know, you're reaching out, you know, to see that the Holy Spirit is what you are. You're hoping the Holy Spirit is what you are. But once you shift into the right mind and you abide as the Holy Spirit, you could say, then you start to realize, wait a minute, I'm more than this. I'm more than the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just a reflection of what I am, like the light is the reflection off of the sun. So, going on to paragraph 28 to 30. Oh, this is the sentence that I used, so we hadn't read it yet. All are God's sons, and all are predestined to know themselves, because all are a reflection of one mind. So if I was to read that sentence again using the sun, light, and darkness example, I would say all are light and all are predestined to know themselves because all are a reflection of one sun. You know, so that's kind of how the example works. There is no separation because there is no truth outside one mind. That which exists within one mind is that mind, and so it is one. The thoughts within the mind reflect the beliefs that the mind holds dear. Beliefs are based on judgment, and judgment is based on desire. The desire that leads you to judge is the desire to express self-will. Behold, look at the world. This is the expression of self-will, which you desired. So when it talks about the desire to express self-will, again, it's talking about Romans chapter 2, which says that we wanted to experience truth or heaven or isness different than it is. That was self-will. And then it says, look at the world. Behold, this is different than truth. This is different than heaven, right? This is different than isness. You know, like just in the news in the last few weeks, you know, I can't even recall off the top of my head all of the, you know, terrific stories. We've had a lot of terrific stories lately. It seems like for a long time there was nothing happening in the news. And then lately there's just been all these humongous stories. You know, there was, you know, the boy leader of Korea, you know, threatening to fire nuclear weapons into South Korea or towards United States territories. Then we had the bombing at the Marathon, and then we had the fertilizer factory in Waco that blew up, and then there was some clothing factory. It was in another country, but they made clothes for Americans. And it collapsed and really injured and killed a lot of people. Gosh, today or yesterday, I think it was today, I lose track of time. Today they found three women who were kidnapped as teenagers and were held inside one house tied up for 9 years, you know. And then look at this. Behold. Behold, you know. This is the expression of self-will. That's what this is saying. It's saying, look at it. Look at it. This is what self-will gets you. And you can hear the self-will in all of those stories. The self-will of the Korean leader who's threatening the nuclear, you know, the self-will of the guys who bombed the Marathon, you know, the self-will of, you know, you just hear it. It's everywhere. The self-will of when the fertilizer factory blew up. I mean, I don't know what that story was, but you know, maybe somebody had some hint that there was something going on there that wasn't safe, and for whatever reason, they didn't deal with it right away. We know in the clothing factory, there was a crack in the building, and the workers were told to ignore it. You know, somebody was more interested in making money than in you know, so there's just self-will in all of these stories. The self-will of the guys who kidnapped the three girls, right? And you know, what this is really saying is when you look out there, and when you are honest about what self-will does, can you really say you still want self-will? You know? Or are you ready maybe now to start the antidote to self-will, or the opposite, or the correction, which is surrender. Surrender to your intuition, surrender to your Holy Spirit, which again, one reason paragraph verses 26 to 27 said, the Holy Spirit is your truth, right? You are your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Spirit is you. Welcome yourself into yourself. The reason this paragraph even needs to be written is because so many of us strongly resist surrender because we value self-will more. And we perceive surrender as being like those girls in that house tied up for 9 years. That's our perception of surrender. And so this is actually a pretty strong teaching saying, wait a minute, look, 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 open your eyes and look at all the trouble self-will causes, all the pain, all the suffering. You know, why do you value it so highly? You know, are you sure that's what you still want, or are you ready for the surrender now? And you're only surrendering to your true self. Right? You're only coming into harmony with your true self. You're not surrendering to something that is going to hurt you and make you do things you didn't want to do. You are surrendering to your own heart. You know, isn't that the better of the two choices? Right? So, starting with sentence 10. And now you know, this is after looking at the world, and now you know that you do not want this desire or these thoughts. You are ready to return to the one will that is your father, or this could be like the son, right? Say goodbye to your dream and to the ancient desire that has grown cold. Return with me to what has never changed and to that which remains true forever. So again, this is just asking us to really shift our values, because shift our values through honesty, through honestly looking at the trouble that self-will causes and realizing we don't want to be any part of that anymore. And so we're ready to surrender to our own heart, right? As Peace Pilgrim said, be the correction instead of the problem.
I was listening to an MP3 that you had put together, and in it you just said that it's time for us to recognize that the ego does not work. Mm-hmm. And you know, I just see more and more evidence of that all the time, and not only in everybody else's life, but in my life as well. You know, just time to, you know, it's never going to be any different.
Right, it's never going to be any different.
It's never going to work.
It's never been different from the beginning of human history. You know, I always say, for every disease we've ever cured, another disease was born.
And you know that right now that they're concerned that penicillin is not going to work in 20 years or so because of the...
The body's adapted to it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so verses 31 to 39. There is nothing to fear within a world of illusion within the mind. Now, this is a little bit important for Holy Spirit to say after leading us to look with honesty at how horrible the world is. Because, you know, the ego really gets involved in everything. And usually when people are listening to spiritual teachings, they aren't listening with just their heart or just their right mind. They're also listening with their ego. And this is where ideas like, the fear of miscreation comes from. You know, people learn about your thoughts, about your ego thoughts, and how all thoughts become manifest in some way. And instead of listening to that teaching with the heart, which is really saying, so learn to let go of every thought that you don't want to have become manifest, they start worrying, then I'm going to manifest something horrible. So that's actually ego's interpretation of the teaching, right? Instead of the heart's interpretation. Most of us, it takes some time before we even listen to right-minded teachings with our right mind. And so the ego screws up the teachings. And so this is what Spirit is addressing right away, right after having us look at the world with honesty. The next sentence is, there is nothing to fear, right, in this world. There is nothing to fear within a world of illusion within the mind. There are only thoughts to look at as you decide you do not want them anymore. So that's the purpose of this teaching. The purpose of this teaching is not to have you look at the world and become scared. In fact, if you look at the world and become scared, you're listening to the ego right now. The purpose of this teaching is to wake you up to the fact that thought does all of this and that you have the power to choose which thoughts you'll listen to. You know, so that it's not supposed to be an outward-focused teaching. It's an inward-focused teaching. You know, again, like Peace Pilgrim said, decide to be a part of the solution instead of a part of the problem. One of the rock and roll songs that comes into my mind every now and then with teachings like this is, do you guys, I don't know if you'll know, you might be a little too old to have been interested in this, unless your children were. Does anybody remember Twisted Sister? Oh, you guys don't remember, you remember Twisted Sister. You know, they have the song, we ain't gonna take it. No, we ain't gonna take it. We ain't gonna take it anymore. You know, and that's almost what Spirit wants us to decide, right? I'm not gonna take it anymore. I'm not gonna be tolerant of the ego in my mind anymore. I'm just not interested anymore. This is really what Spirit is trying to get us to do. So it's not look at the world and be afraid. It's look at the world and realize you're not going to take it. From now on, when ego starts coming into your mind, you're just, you're with heart, Not with fear, with heart, you're going to say, no, I don't want to follow this thought. I don't want to think in this way. Right? You're just not going to take it anymore. Maybe I should add that song to my list when I get home. So, take my hand and follow me as I lead you back to your father. Do not shrink from your dream as it is not real. Your hiding will only delay us on our path. Let's hurry now back to the joy of your father. Let's pass through your dream, see it is not real, and return in glee to all that is real and has not changed. So again, the purpose of the teaching is not to make us afraid. The purpose of the teaching is to make us aware and to lead us to make a very powerful decision. So, that's NTI Romans chapter 8. And obviously we have more time, so you guys, are you ready for NTI Romans chapter 9? Okay, let's go for it. Verses 1 to 18. I ask you to give your willingness to accept that the world is not real. I ask you to give me your willingness that I may show you this is true. When you look at the world, it is helpful to remember that you look at nothing but thought. Everything you experience, everything you see, everything you think you know is the expression of thought. Give your willingness to see all that you experience as thought. Give your willingness to see that the world is not real. When you do not understand what you see or experience within the world, do not try to understand it. Do not try to justify that which confuses you. To try to understand what cannot be understood, or to attempt to justify confusion, is to want it to fit within your illusion of reality. Give willingness to see that it is not real. Give willingness to see that it is only thought. So the way I remember this, when this particular paragraph came, there was something in the news. There was a man, I believe he was in North Carolina, which is where I was at the time, but I could be wrong about that. But there was a man who killed his 2 5-year-old twins. He may have also have killed his wife, but it was the twins that stick in my mind. And it was one of those, you know, apparently senseless killings. You know, he just killed his children, you know. And I was a, you know, a core student and the scribe of NTI at the time, but certainly had an unhealed mind and a fully unhealed mind at this point. And I wanted to forgive him. I didn't want to hate him. I didn't want to see him as a monster. So what I was doing in my mind was I was saying, well, you know, maybe as a child he was abused. Maybe as a child he wasn't loved. And I was justifying it. I was trying to understand it with, you know, within the wrong context. And that's what this is saying. It's saying don't try to understand, you know, don't try to justify what you see in the world. Don't try to understand it, because then you're just fitting it into the context of your perception. Instead, what you want to see is that it's just not real. It's just not real. And what he's really asking us to do is to give our willingness to know that fully. He doesn't want us to intellectually say it's not real. He wants us to give our willingness to realize that the world is not real so that we can realize it in a very real way. For me, the first realization, the first true realization that the world was not real came just a little later when I was writing, I can't think of the name of the book now. It starts with an E. Anyway, it'll come to me. Usually I know things, but right now I don't. But anyway, there's another book that we're going to get to in about 5 books in here. Ephesians, thank you, that's it. So when I was writing Ephesians, that's when I always tell people that was my Helen Keller moment at the well. Because has everybody seen The Miracle Worker with Helen Keller? And remember, her teacher was always trying to teach her how to sign, and she just didn't get it, didn't get it, didn't get it. And then one night, Helen Keller, you know, being her bratty self, she threw a pitcher of water or something like that, and the teacher took her and took the water outside and was going to make her fill up the pitcher again. And she was making her fill up the pitcher, but she was sticking her hand under the water and doing the sign for water and sticking her hand under the water. And all of a sudden, for some reason, it clicked. It clicked. And, you know, and Helen suddenly understood that this was a form of communication, signing. And then she ran around and she wanted to know all of the signs. Well, I call Ephesians my Helen Keller moment at the well, because that's when it clicked. I mean, really clicked, that the world is not real, that the world is just thought, and that what appears to be happening in the world is coming from the thoughts that we are thinking. I mean, I know I'd heard this before, but it clicked where it wasn't just hearing it anymore. And I always say that's when I started to get really, really good at forgiveness, because then I began to... Well, I began to have the "we're not going to take it" attitude, in a loving way, not a resistant way. But then, you know, before, you know, Danielle wasn't in my life then, but, you know, she's my roommate. So let's say before, if Danielle as my roommate had done something that annoyed me, I'd be like, I want to forgive her. Damn her, why'd she do that? I want to forgive her. Damn her, why? You know what I was like, back and forth? After this point, you know, if my roommate would do something and my thoughts would come up, you know, damn her, I'd be like, wait a minute. You know, this isn't just being about me and Danielle anymore. This is about the entire world appearance. What kind of energy do I want to send out into the entire world appearance? Again, peace pilgrim. Do I want to be a part of the problem or the solution? I really got it that the world is not real. It is only the reflection of thought, and that my thought is a part of what makes this reflection. And I began to really want to clean up my mind then. Not for me. Before, it was kind of for me, up until Ephesians. I wanted inner peace. I wanted to be enlightened. You know, it was for me. At this point, it became not for me. It became for everything or everyone or however you say that. I just no longer wanted to participate in that. And my forgiveness from that point forward was what some people might call quantum forgiveness, to where I really didn't tolerate egoic thoughts. I really didn't tolerate grievances. And when I lost all willingness to tolerate it, clarity, what I needed to see in order to let go of something, began to come pretty quickly and pretty deeply. And I think it's fair to say, I became a master of forgiveness. I think that's a fair statement. I mean, I'm not an enlightened person, but I became a master of forgiveness. I learned to forgive quickly and easily because I didn't want anything in my mind that wasn't love or helpfulness, right? So again, what Spirit is asking us to do is to give our willingness to see, not intellectually, but whatever happened to me in Ephesians, to see in a very real way, to have a true perception that the world is not real. Because when we have that true perception and we understand, really understand, then we lose tolerance for those types of thoughts in our minds. Right, and we become quantum forgivers. It's the only thing that can happen when we truly understand. So, in fact, starting with sentence 7. Oh no, we already read that. Starting with sentence 12. You try to understand, and you try to give reason to your experience, because you want to reconcile your world with truth. You want all that you believe to be truth, and you want the truth to be true too. This reconciliation can never be accomplished. That which is not true cannot become true, and that which is truth cannot fit within illusion. Do you try to understand that which you know is not true? Do you try to explain fantasy? Dismiss your desire to defend the world. Be willing to see it's not real. Be willing to see it is only thought. So again, you know, when I was trying to justify in my mind how this monster could be innocent, right? Not a monster, because I didn't want to see him as a monster. I wasn't really taking responsibility for my thoughts. You know, I wasn't really realizing the world is not real. And when I have a grievance against Danielle, I'm a participant in all of these things that happen in the world, right? You know, instead I'm just trying to forgive him in a different way. But when you see that the world is not real, you start to take responsibility, and not with guilt. There's a, you know, the words that come to my mind is there's a flame that lights in your heart that makes you really want to do this. You know, it's like it's a service. It's a service. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's probably why the Course calls you a miracle worker. It's a service that you provide for everyone to forgive the thoughts in your own mind, or to stop believing them, stop giving them meaning as quickly as you can. And that fire gets lit in your heart where this is something you really, really want to do. So you're not doing it out of fear because you're afraid of the thoughts. You're not doing it out of judgment because you're bad if you have these thoughts. You're doing it out of love. That's your reason for doing it. And so the thoughts still come, but now you don't want to hold on to them any longer, you know, than you have to. You really want to find the way to let go of them. And often you have to ask for help, or at least I did. You know, some thoughts it was harder to say, now how do I let go of this again, you know? But the way shows up. Oh, that's how I can let, okay, now that I see how I can let go of this thought, I will let it go. You know, the way shows up for you because you want so badly for the way to show up. Let's see. Sentence 21. There are many thoughts in the world that will confuse you if you insist on believing they are real. You must be willing not to believe the thoughts you see, the thoughts you experience, or the thought that seems to be you. In the world, you will see what seems to be unfairness, cruelty, and suffering. Do not blame these on your brother. Do not blame these on God. To blame what you see on anyone or anything is to accept what you see as real. You must be willing to see that it is not real. You must be willing to not let illusion be hardened. The one you seem to be within the world is not your reality. Oh, I love this paragraph. The one you seem to be within the world is not your reality. Do not mourn it. Do not be grateful for it. To mourn it or to be grateful for it is to believe in illusion. And I'll tell you what this means here when it says do not be grateful for it. This is referring to, you know, to the idea of I'm luckier than such and such because I'm smarter, or because I'm prettier, or because I have more money. I'd much rather be me than her. That's what it means by grateful in this case. So it's not talking about the true gratitude that would come from the heart. It's talking about a mental gratitude that comes from comparison and saying, I'd much rather be me than her, you know, right? The mourning it is just the other side of that coin. I'd rather be her than me. How come all this stuff happens to me? How come I don't have the money? How come I'm not smart, right? So when it's talking about mourning it or being grateful for it, it's two sides of the same coin. So the one you seem to be within the world is not your reality. Do not mourn it. Do not be grateful for it. To mourn it or to be grateful for it is to believe in illusion. Be willing to see that the one you think you are is only an expression of thought. Be willing to look beyond the thought and acknowledge the thinker of the thought as you. And the thinker of the thought here would be similar to the dreamer of the dream in A Course in Miracles. And the interesting thing is, as you awaken more and more, you come to realize that even the thinker is not real. The thinker would be almost like the first belief in the tiny mat idea. Like that action of first belief in the tiny mat idea would be the thinker. So it's out of that action of first belief that everything else comes, right? But what we are, the truth of what we are, is the changelessness. So we're not even the thinker. But before you can get to realizing the changelessness, most of us anyway, have to go through this process of taking responsibility. And we take responsibility by realizing, again, the world is a reflection of my mind. At some point, we realize I'm even before that. But this, again, is pointing to be the one, realize that the world is the reflection of my mind. And again, this is not the personal me, because even the personal me is a reflection of that mind. Right? So, and this is where a lot of people get confused. At least it sounds like they're confused when they're talking. You know, you'll hear people say, well, you know, the world is a reflection of my mind, but you can tell in the way they're talking, they mean like, you know, like I'm Regina, and the world is a reflection of Regina's mind. That's not true. Regina is a reflection of that, right? Regina is a reflection of that belief. We're talking about, you know, for lack of better words, we're talking about the divine confused mind, the mind that believed the tiny mat idea way before there even was a world. And yet, somehow, and none of this stuff can really be understood, so don't try too hard to understand it because you'll just get in a tight in a knot. Somehow that confusion, that primordial confusion, is extended or projected into each of us, right? So each of us letting go of the primordial confusion is a healing of that primordial idea. So it's not that the world is a reflection of Jacqueline's mind or Dave's mind, it's a reflection of a primordial mind, but we each have a little of that in us. So we forgive from where we're at, if that makes sense. But where guilt comes in is if you, or where guilt can come in, or confusion can come in, is if you think it's a reflection of my personal mind. You know, like I had a friend recently who got a little upset for a while because she thought the world was a reflection of her mind. So she thought that if her mind was healed or pure, then the reflection, which was her very sick daughter, should become the reflection of a healed daughter. And when it didn't happen, she was like, you know, why can't I do this? But I think she was still thinking at the personal level, right? And she was expecting a personal miracle. So we each need to do our part in the letting go. But what's really being healed or what's really being cleared is a mind that's prior to the personal. And in fact, when there's enough clearing and people wake up, they wake up from the personal, right? The personal does not become enlightened. They wake up from the personal because the personal is a part of the projection. But still, you know, look at your thoughts, even while you think you're a person. That's where it starts. That's where the healing starts. That's how we start ripping the beams off the shack, so that the light can shine in, and then eventually we realize we are the light. And then we realize we're more. Right? You gotta start where you're at, which is in the darkness, needing to rip those boards off of the shack. Okay, so number 7, sentence 7. Do not fear that what you think is a statement of your truth. Do not fear there is truth to your guilt. Do not fear there is hideousness in your nature. Now this is how most of us feel down deep inside. Hideous. Hideous. That's a great word. This is the core of our unworthiness. Most of us feel absolutely hideous down deep inside. Do not fear there is hideousness in your nature. But also do not ask to be the hero. Do not ask to be good. You know, so the fantasy then is, the fear is that I'm the lowliest. The fantasy is to be the best. Either one is the personal. We want to wake up from the personal. We don't want to be the, you know, the super kind person. You know, we want to wake up from the personal. We want to realize who we are. So, do not ask to be the hero, Do not ask to be good. Do not ask to be anything at all. Give only your willingness to let go of illusions. Give your willingness to know your truth. So again, wake up from the personal. Verses 25 to 33, do not fear God. There is no judgment in God. Judgment is the tool of illusion. God is truth, absent of illusion. Be willing to think with God. Do not fear the world. Do not fear what seems to happen in the world. Be willing to see it is not true. Be willing to see it is thought born of fantasy. Be willing to let fantasy go. Do not fear time. It is not your home. It survives in the mind as a dream. Be willing to awaken. Be willing to let it all go. Be willing to see time isn't true. Do not fear division. It is illusion. There is no truth in division at all. Be willing to forgive that which isn't true by being willing to let it go from your thought. So, you know, Spirit is reminding us not to be afraid of what we seem to see or think. Just be willing to notice what we are thinking and to let go of any thought that is not Spirit's thought. Right? So it's a request that we practice discernment. And that's because that's what's truly helpful. Right? So I think the assignment is pretty obvious. The assignment this week would then be, and Dave, I know when I use these words, they always kind of mess you up, so you do this in whatever way works for you. But the assignment would be to watch your mind. Be aware of your mind. And when you notice that an egoic thought is occurring, maybe just gently ask yourself, I'd like to stay at the level of gentleness. Gently ask yourself, is this the kind of energy that I want to project into the world? Yeah, start looking at it from that point of view. But don't worry that you're creating anything real in the world. That's what this is all saying. Even though it's teaching us to do this, it wants us at the same time not to worry that we're creating anything real in the world. So it's kind of one of those paradoxes. You both want to make the choice not to project that egoic energy into the world. And at the same time, you want to realize even if you do project the energy, or if you have been for the last 24 hours, overall, it's really still okay. Because the changeless nature is still changeless. That changeless nature we watched last week. So it's kind of a funny place because we're both making a decision not to project negative energy, and that's a decision we want to make. That's how you take those boards off of the shack. But at the same time, we want to remember, even if we did project negative energy, or even if we are projecting negative energy, it's not really affecting anything. Right?
So we don't get down on ourselves.
So you don't get down on yourself. That's what this whole thing was saying. Do not fear, do not fear, do not fear. So like, do it. Do your best not to listen to the ego. But remember, even if you do listen to the ego, it's not really affecting anything. So it's kind of a funny place to be, but that's the way this is. That's the way this business of waking up is. So I'll go ahead and stop the recorder and we'll go into our silence. Whoops, that's not the recorder, that's the Kindle again.